Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. I want to talk this morning about life's greatest discovery, okay? Life's greatest discovery. Thought about this week. What is life's greatest discovery? Well, I think that if you look at the wheel, discovery of the wheel, the round wheel, was one of life's great discoveries. Amen? We all have cars, and if it wasn't for those round wheels, it'd be awfully bumpy going down the road at 90 miles an hour on a square tire. Then also there was the discovery of electricity. We see that. It's pretty neat, isn't it? Walk in and flip a switch, and you got light. Hadn't been for that, I don't know where we'd be today. Discovery of running water was pretty good, isn't it? A pump and motor to bring water to your house. All the conveniences. You've been overseas, and some places that we've been, they don't have electricity. Didn't have running water. Didn't even have a wheel. Those are good discoveries. But one of life's greatest discoveries would be how God can make this old sinful man right with him. That's a great discovery. When you discover how God, through his grace, amazing grace, can take this old sinful heart and make it right. 1975, a sinner like me was saved by the grace of God. Oh, that made a difference in my life. He's still working on me. I want to read this passage of Scripture and just see how God can take an unrighteous person and make him right with God. What shall we say in verse 30 of chapter 9 of the book of Romans? What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. God, we ask that you just speak to our hearts now, for we know that if through the Holy Spirit you do not open this passage of Scripture up to us, we will not understand what I'm about to say. And Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning that if there's one person here that has not received you as Lord and Savior, that this morning they will. They'll open up their heart and let you come into their life. Now we give you all the praise and all the glory, for it all belongs to you. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now we talk about all the discoveries that we have made in our scientific world today, and we know a lot of them, and I don't know today if we could go back. We're so used to the modern conveniences. We're used to air conditioning. Someone said, "How did we ever get along without air conditioning?" Well, I was raised without air conditioning. I don't think I suffered that much. Matter of fact, I was probably a lot better off being without an air conditioned home than we are today with air conditioning. We survived. We did those things necessary. I was talking to somebody the other day about the things that we raised out on the farm and the things we ate. And, you know, we didn't have to run to the grocery store, Walmart, or wherever we might be, Brookshire's. To get all those things, we had them on the farm. We raised our eggs, and we raised our bacon, and we raised a lot of things. And we enjoyed those simple things, but, you know, I'm not complaining. We We have cell phones today, and I think how far we've come with a cell phone. I lost mine a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, it was peaceful for a while. But you know what? I was kind of lost without that thing. And you think, well, that's silly. But you know what? I didn't even know my own number until you look it up in the phone. I didn't know any of your numbers. Used to, I knew most of my deacon's numbers by memory and a lot of our individual members by memory. But you know what? You don't do that anymore. You just look it up on your phone or speak to your phone and say, call so-and-so. And it calls them, and you don't need that number, do you? Because the modern conveniences, it's just there. And then I got thinking, man, I don't know anybody's number anymore. Our mind just kind of is out of it. So all of these discoveries are great. But you know, if you miss God in your whole life, if you live your life with all the conveniences that we have, and we're living in a day with a lot of conveniences. But if you miss God, Brother Bill said it a while ago, you're born, you live, and you're gone. And the Bible says life is like a vapor. And if we miss God through all the conveniences, you know, we spend our times, you know, I wonder how many people spend most of their day on their cell phones. I got tickled. I went with a young at heart to the ball game probably a month ago now. We were riding in our bus, and I was just sitting there, and we were all sitting there looking at people when we passed, and every one of them had a cell phone to the ear. You know, more people are driving with a cell phone stuck to the ear than they're with both hands on the wheels. And life is short, isn't it, with all of those things. And I was wondering, how many miss God through the day? We spend all our time talking on our cell phone, but do we talk to God at all? You know, we'll spend hours on our laptops or our computers, but do we ever pick up our Bible and just spend an hour with God? You see, that is the greatest discovery that we can have in life when we are right with a holy God. And I want you to be right with a holy God this morning. And the strange thing is about being right with the Holy God, the majority of America is missing that. They never discover how to be right with God. And here in the Bible, one group that should have known God spiritually didn't know God. I'm going to start in verse 33 and just back into this scripture. Before, I believe that's the way we have to do it. Now, Paul is careful to point out that God did not reject Israel or the Jews, but they have rejected God. Look at Romans 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. That's what Paul says about them. Now, what is true of Israel here is true of most of the American people. They're living their life without God. They miss God in life. Now, I want you to think about that this morning. Are you missing God this morning? Are you living your life without Christ? You know what? Some people tell me that, well, I just don't know God. And some people say that God has rejected the children of Israel, but God rejects no one. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, Paul goes on to say that the Gentiles, who really had no use for God, they had no thirst for God, they had no longing for God, they had no desire for God in their life, when confronted with God, when made aware of God, the Bible says they accepted God by faith. Now this morning I've already prayed and I asked God through the power of the Holy Spirit to confront you with the gospel. Now, you're not going to leave here this morning without hearing about Jesus Christ. You're not going to leave here without knowing that God loves you and He died for you, and you must receive Him as your Lord and Savior if you're ever going to make it to heaven. So you're going to be confronted with a choice. Before you leave here this morning, you're going to be given a choice to reject Christ or to choose Christ as your Lord and Savior. 1975, I told you, I had that same choice put before me. The Holy Spirit was convicting me that I was lost. I had religion, but I didn't have Christ. Israel had religion. Basically, you know what? There's just three ways that you can attempt to get to God. And I'm going to point these three ways out. Only one of them is the right way. Okay? There's three ways, but only one is the right way. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man. There's a way to get to heaven that seems right to man. But the Bible says the end of it is death. Now, Jesus says, if we want to get to heaven, Matthew 7:13, you've got to enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are on that road, the Bible says. And narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to eternal life, and few find it. I'm so glad in 1975 when I was confronted with the narrow gate, the narrow way to salvation, I said yes to God. He has made a difference in my life. He has been all the world to me. Now, one way is the religious way. The religious way to God. That's what the Jews were trying to do. That's what he says Israel was pursuing, the law of righteousness. Why? The religious way. It was their teaching. They knew the law, and they thought they had to keep the law, and they would make it to heaven by the works of the law. And when Jesus Christ come, the Bible says they stumbled at him. They literally tripped and fell by him. And too many today try to get to God by definition of religion. They think religion will get them to God. That is man's way, folks. That is man's way to God. And today the great movement out there in the world today is to put all religions at an equal footing. Well, it's a statement. Preacher, you got to be tolerant of other religions. There's acceptability. You've got to accept every man. When someone says, well, preacher, one religion is as good as the other, I will say to them, yes, you're right. None of them will get you to heaven. So they're all just as good as the other. Have you ever thought about that? Well, Baptist, Methodist, just as good as Baptist. If we're trying to make it on religion. I started to tell a little Methodist joke there. Somebody said, did you see that out there a while ago? It was rain. I said, yeah, that's a Methodist baptism. I'm just kidding, Phyllis back there. I know she's a Methodist. Someone said, all religions have good in them. And another replied, so does rat poison. Rat poison is 98% cornmeal. Did you know that? You want to eat some of it? That 2% will kill you. Let me tell you something. Religions, some of them may look real good. But Jesus says the end is death. You know, if you go visiting, you'll find that the greatest obstacle in the world to Christ in America, I would say, is religion. Man, people will tell you when asked, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You know what they'll tell you? I belong to the Baptist church down there on the... So what? I do too. I hadn't seen you down there. Oh, by the way, I'm the preacher down there. Well, how long you been there? 27 years. You know? Some people don't get it, do they? The Gallup poll has discovered that the religious interest in America is growing by leaps and bounds. You see? But if you look at the polls, so is immorality in our churches and in our world. And friends, today there's little difference between those who go to church and those who don't, because they think that religion will someday get them to heaven. Religion is no substitute for repentance and regeneration. You see, the Bible tells us if we're going to heaven, we must repent of our sins and turn to Christ. And people are looking to religion for God. And the gospel of Christianity and religion, they don't mix. And here in the scripture it says, but Israel, they pursued the law of righteousness, and they have not attained the law of righteousness. But the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness had attained righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. Religion says, try to get to heaven. Try to work your way to heaven. You know, the gospel says simply, trust God for your way to heaven. Religion says, pay me what you owe me, God. And the gospel says, I'll pay you what you owe me. Live for God, religion says. Christianity is living through God. Religion says you got to obey the law. Christianity says you must obey God, you see. There's a lot of difference. I don't need in my life another dry religion. I need a living Lord in my life. A living Savior in my life. A divine Redeemer whose name is Jesus. And when He comes into your life, folks, your life will change. You know, and you probably hear me say this over and over, why our churches are dismissing on Sunday nights, when they're dismissing on Wednesday night, when they're dismissing Bible study time. They've got a dry religion. They don't have a living divine Redeemer. If they really love Jesus Christ like you ought to love Jesus Christ, you would put Him first in your life. You would seek Him first in your life. You'd want to do His will in your life. And the Bible tells me when I come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm alive to Christ. I become a new person. I don't do the same old things I used to do. I don't go where I used to go. I'm alive in Christ. And we need to really be alive in Christ. Tonight, you know what? I'm coming to church here. Amen. I wish you would come join in with me in church. You see, why am I coming? Because I have to? No. I'm coming because of the life of Jesus Christ. He loved me so much that He died for me. And folks, I want to please Him with my life. That's why I come to church. What is the law of righteousness? The law of righteousness simply says, if you do good, you see, you are good. And the righteous way to God will not get you to heaven. The religious way to God will not get you to heaven. It sounds good, doesn't it? If I do good, I will be good. But that's not right. The Bible doesn't say, if you do good, you are good. The Bible says, if you are good, you will do good. And the Jews were basically dependent on two things. They basically depended on, one, their birth. They were born into a Jewish family, and that automatically made them right with the family of God? It did not. They thought it did, but it did not. You see, being born into a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian even as much as if I was born to in the hospital would make me a doctor. It just won't do it. You must be born again, the Bible says. That's how it brings you into the family of God. When you realize that Jesus Christ died for you, and you accept His word by faith in your life, and you agree with Him that you are a sinner, and you invite Him to come into your life, then He says, I will come in. John writes, as many as receive Him, to them He gave peace of God. They received Him as the Lord and Savior. It's not your bloodline, folks. Human descent doesn't make you a Christian automatically. Nor is it the will of the flesh. I want to be a Christian, I want to be a Christian, I want to be a Christian. That doesn't make you a Christian. Now, the Jews also thought they could be saved by their behavior. And you know what? When it came to keeping the law, there's a man named Paul. He kept the law. You remember what he said about the law? He kept the law better than any. But he didn't know God, did he? It was on the road to Damascus that really he came to know Jesus. There's only one passing grade for God, and that's 100, perfectly kept. James says if you break the law in any one point, you've broken all of them. Now, how many would say, well, preacher, I've kept every commandment that God's given? I would call you probably a liar because you haven't kept the commandments that God has given. Oh, we think we're good sometimes. We think we can do the law and keep the law. But when it comes to the perfect law, perfect obedience, you know, that is required. And God says, no man is perfect. And God will not curse anyone who continues in all things which are written in the book of the law. But on the other hand, partial obedience, he says, is rejected. Is rejected. If you do not keep the law perfectly, and every one of us have sinned, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the religious way is not the way to God. The righteous way is not the way to God. How then can we be saved? That is the greatest discovery that you'll ever make. The Bible says there's only one door to heaven. It's not the back door of behavior. You just can't get in by being good. It's not the side door of birth. You can't be born into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says you have to come by the way of the cross. It's through the front door of belief in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says there's a right way to heaven. What shall I say then, that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? Faith, folks, is the right way to get to heaven. For the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. That's how you're going to get into heaven, if you make it into heaven. Life's greatest discovery is that you can go to heaven today by faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that the greatest discovery? To know that you don't have to die and go to hell. You can die and spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that gives you a hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's where I placed my hope this morning. It's not a hopeful. I'm not hoping that I will get to heaven. I know I will get to heaven. Why do I know I'm going to heaven? Because God's word says so. I believe God's word. I've trusted God's word. I've done everything that the Father has asked me to do. He simply said, would you trust me by faith for eternal life? And I said, yes, Lord, I want to trust you by faith. I agree with you on that May morning of 1975. I heard the preacher talk about salvation, how to receive salvation. And the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart. And he was convicting me, Booney, you're lost. You've never really trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now let me tell you something, folks. If you're visiting with us this morning, I had gone to church all my life. My mother grew up in church. I went to church while I was still in her body. I went to church when I was a baby. I went to church when I was 1 year old. Let me tell you something, I didn't go on just Sunday morning. I went Sunday night because Daddy believed you ought to go every time the doors were open. We went on Wednesday night. And if there's a Tuesday night prayer meeting somewhere, we were there. When I was 8 years old, I began to play the piano for church. When I was in high school, we would help teach the RAs and GAs. When we got, Ron and I got married, we moved to Eastside Baptist Church in Rust. I went to church there. We worked in RAs and GAs. We were faithful members. We gave our tithe. I was a Sunday school superintendent. I did all of that. That's religious. I never was saved. That May 5th morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, you've done all the religious things you can do, and you're still not good enough to get into heaven. And you know what? I felt the Holy Spirit tugging at my heart, and I felt Jesus saying, if you would just step out by faith and trust me as your Lord and Savior, not yourself, I would save you. And I wanted that burden lifted. I love that old song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. I love that. I said, Lord, if I step out by faith, if I come, I know you're going to save me, but what are all of these people going to think about me? Boy, I had too much pride to do that. I said, what is the pastor going to think? I'm Sunday school superintendent. What's he going to think? And you know what? It was like the Holy Spirit says, who cares what they think? It's what God thinks that matters. And you know, I said, Lord, I want peace in my life more than anything. Man, I had a great wife, two wonderful kids. But I wanted peace more than I wanted any other thing. And when that time of invitation, just as I am, without one plea, soon as that invitation began, I stepped like this, and the rest of it was easy. I walked down the four pews. I said, preacher, he said, you come to rededicate your life? I said, no, I come to get saved. He looked at me and said, what? I said, I've never really been saved, and I want to be saved today. I've tried religion. I've tried the birth way. They don't work. That day I got saved, gloriously saved. You know, I haven't been perfect. None of you are either, are you? But you know what? I've never lost that feeling that I had. I love God more than any other thing. I'm his child. I'm a child of the King. You know, Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say you have to live by the word. It says you'll live by the faith. You don't have to pay for your sins. Jesus has already paid for your sins. You see? He paid the price for your life. You don't have to do anything for God. Isn't that great? I realized that day. I don't have to do anything for God. All I have to do is step out by faith and trust Him. He's done it all. I don't have nothing He wants except my heart and my life. And let me tell you something. He doesn't force me to come to church. It's amazing. I just want to go. I just want to be around Christian people. I just want to sing praises. Best time I have is when I'm driving down to my old deer stand in that pickup, and I got those old, what is that I listen to? Somebody give me that bluegrass music of gospel. Now, I don't know if that was, probably Toby. Man, they got some picking and grinning on that thing. What a friend we have in Jesus. And that old pickup, man, it just hears all about Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Man, I tell you what, I have a happy spell in that pickup. Man. For I realized, hey, I don't have to do nothing. God's done it all. That day that I trusted Him, He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've got a place in heaven reserved for me, and I don't have to serve Him, but I want to serve Him because I've been changed. I've been newborn. See, all my life has been rearranged. The greatest discovery in life is learning that faith is the key that unlocks the door to heaven and eternal life. And you can have that this morning if you will, by faith, simply step out and ask God to come into your life. The Bible says He will. And you know what? This word here is God's living word. It's a holy Bible. I read it, and His words just come alive to my heart. And when you trust Christ, it'll come alive to your heart. And you'll want to obey the Word of God. You'll want to live for God because He died for you. Folks, have you discovered Jesus Christ is real? Religion, birth, only Jesus can forgive you. Only Jesus can give you a peace of mind and a heart to know beyond any other thing that you're going to heaven when you die. And that's the peace that passes all understanding. That's the joy of living the Christian life. Now, if you really love Jesus, won't you serve Him? Won't you serve Him with all your heart? Make that commitment. God, I'm going to serve You. Oh, you know what? I fall short. But when I do, I'm just silly enough to believe His word. And His word says, if I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me. And you know what? I found that to be true. He does. He picks you right back up. Says, get going again. Get out there. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Would you trust Him this morning? Would you make the decisions? Some of you have been born again. Some of you really have been changed. But you're not living like you should. You're not doing everything you should. You know, God has given us so many talents and gifts in our life, and we don't use them for God, and they get like our muscles, they get weak. He may be calling you to step out and let's start doing something. Whatever decision. Some of you are looking for a church home this morning. You don't have a church home, and you need a church home. Why do I need a church home? Because I need people around me that love God. I need people around me to help me in the tough times of just standing. When troubles come, and they do come, I'm so glad I can call on my deacons. I'm so glad that I can call on my staff. I'm so glad that I have people around me, friends in this church, that I can say, hey, I need some help. And you know what? They're always there. That's why you need a church. Because troubles come. And we need a fellowship to help us through it. Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for those that are here. And Lord, I thank You for the greatest discovery is trusting You as Lord and Savior. And how You can turn this old life into something holy and righteous. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved me and died for me, that while I was a sinner in all my sins, he loved me to die for me, that I might have eternal life. And Lord, if there's one person here, boy, girl, man, or woman, no matter what, how young or how old, Lord, if they've not trusted you as Lord and Savior, they don't know beyond a doubt that they're saved, let them come this morning. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.